We want to look tonight in our Bibles at 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, there's an excellent verse of scripture here. One of my favorite verses. I think I have 300,000 of them. It's one I really like. 2 Timothy 2:2. Thou therefore, my son, verse 1 says, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. You see that? The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Now, Heavenly Father, we're very thankful tonight to be able to bow before your throne and pray. Well, Father, we're thankful for those souls that have been saved in Mexico and those churches that have been planted, Father, and the vision for more churches to be planted and more souls to be saved. While the world has been talking about immigration and while the world has been talking about cartels and governments, people have been busy about Jesus Christ and souls have been saved. And that's a wonderful thing. Father, we pray for those souls to be faithful. And for more churches to be planted. Tonight, Father, we pray for our folks. We pray that through the preaching and teaching of the Word of God, we'll be helped along the way of the path that you have for us, Father, in this church, for what you'll have for us later today and tomorrow and next week and those days and months to come. Things, Father, that we do today that make it where this church is prepared for what you have for us later. Now, Father, I pray that when we open the Scripture and preach it tonight, you will open our hearts to understand it and our minds to grasp it. And, Father, I pray for our hearts to be surrendered to do your will, for we ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You know, in this particular passage of Scripture, what Paul did for Timothy is he gave him something to do in the ministry. He gave him a requirement for something that he should do. He didn't just say, okay, now go out and win all the souls you can, all the winning souls to the Lord Jesus Christ, as you heard, is a very important part of the ministry. But he said, I want you to do something with these folks. The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. He said, I want you to reproduce yourself in the ministry. I want you to consider that you need not only to lead them to the Lord Jesus Christ, but you need to train them. And so when looking at this particular passage of Scripture, I realize the need. A lot of times this particular passage of Scripture is taught for discipleship. That says, you lead a soul to Christ, you need to disciple that soul. Now sometimes you'll see this taught in another capacity. Here's the way that we'll treat it tonight. People need to be trained. People need to be trained. You see, inside of a church, when people have come to the Lord Jesus Christ and they begin to be surrendered to do what God wants them to do, as many of you are, what happens is the Lord begins to do things in your life and you, as I've said before, begin to surface in a particular capacity to be used for the Lord. And I think, truly, the people that are involved in various aspects of the ministry, nursery and teaching Sunday school and being involved in the pastoral ministry or being involved as deacons or things like that, these are people who have surfaced and now have been plugged into various areas of the ministry. But you know what? There are a lot of other people here that are young and some of whom are a little bit older who are also going to be used by God in some capacity. I'm looking around here, I'm seeing college students, I'm seeing high school students, and I'm thinking, you know what? There is potential here. And this potential is harnessed, this potential is prepared through the teaching and preaching of the Word of God, but also through purposeful training. Purposeful training. There are people that need to be trained in aspects of the ministry. Brother Duke is here talking about the vision he has for planting other churches. May I tell you something? If you take a person that has a great desire to do something for God that has recently been saved, said, good, you go over there and plant a church, how long do you think they'll survive before they cave into the pressures of the ministry? The reason that they wouldn't survive very long is that they may know how to talk to other people about the Lord Jesus Christ, but they don't know what to do with them once they get saved. So help them to grow. People need to be taught. Now, in this particular passage, we'll read it again together. Notice what he says. The things that thou hast heard of me, that's important. Among many witnesses, that's important. The same commit, that's important. Thou to faithful men, that's important, who shall be able to teach others also. That's important. There's a lot in this text. Who are we going to train in this ministry? And I'll tell you who it is. And the reason I say that is so that you will understand who God's going to use. And so that you'll understand who we're looking for. You say, well, wouldn't you just train everybody? Training people is a big investment of time. And you're not going to train somebody who is just going to receive it and then not do anything with it. You want to train people that, as Timothy had to do, some people had some ability. What are you looking for? What are the character's traits that you should have? First of all, train the ones who are teachable. Train the ones who are teachable. Look what he says here. The things that thou hast heard of me. All right? Paul had a lot of things that were going on in his ministry. People could see what he was doing. People could hear what he was doing. And what he was saying is, there are some things that I'm doing we want other people to do. But you know what? There are a lot of people that say, I don't want to do what Paul does. And I don't want to do it the way Paul does it. I want to do my own thing. A person like that is not teachable. Let's look at a cross-reference here and notice what he said to the Philippians in Philippians chapter 4. So if you're in 1 Timothy, go back to the left and go to Philippians chapter 4 and look at this right here. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Philippians chapter 4. And look at verse 9. Here are these things that people had heard of Paul. Watch this. Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, what's the next word? Do. And the God of peace shall be with you. You know, there are a lot of things that you've learned if you've been in this church for a period of time. You've learned from your Sunday school teachers. You've learned through other men that have come and preach to you. You've learned through preaching and teaching of the Word of God from this pulpit and from your pastor. But just because you learn a thing doesn't mean that you've received it. I can talk to people tonight right now about the Bible who are out drunk on the street and they can quote you some scripture. They learned that. But they wouldn't be out on the street right now drunk tonight if they had received what they learned. Listen, you go to school, don't you? And part of your reason for going to school, some of you have been to school, some of you are going to school right now. Part of the reason you go there is so that you can get a degree, and with that degree you can go get a job. Do you receive everything you learn in school? No, of course not. When they tell you you came from monkeys, you say, I understand. Now I've learned about evolution, but I don't receive this. Big difference. And then he said, not only that you've learned and received, but he says, which you have heard and seen in me. And Paul says, there's some things you've heard about me that aren't true. There are a lot of people out here that are saying things about me because they want to ruin me in the ministry. He talks about that in some other places. But the stuff you've heard from me and the things you've seen in me, in other words, those things that I'm doing that are part of what I'm teaching, my life is reflective of my preaching, I want you to do those things. You see, part of what you're learning when you come to a church and hear preaching and teaching, part of what you're learning is stuff you're catching. As they say, a lot of this stuff in the ministry is caught, not taught. It's stuff that rubs off. I watch these teens and they're hanging around Tony and they're doing things and they kind of follow him around a little bit like a covey of quail. You ever notice that? There are things that they are learning from him that aren't just coming from his mouth. They're also learning from his conduct and his behavior and his attitude. Teachable. Tony was in the ministry pastoring for 8 years before he came here. And I was talking to some pastors about bringing him in as we were praying and asking them to pray. You know what I heard two or three of them say? Well, that's pretty good, but since he's pastored for 8 years, is he teachable? I hope so. You know, because after a man has done some things for a while and he has his own ways of doing things, may not be teachable. But I found Tony to be teachable. Randy's nearly as old as I am. Uh-oh. He's teachable. Sometimes when people are teachable like that, you have to teach them lessons that aren't easy to learn. But you know what you're looking for? If you want to be used by God in your life in some way in the ministry, be teachable. Learn those things you learn from being taught. Learn those things that you receive and receive them, and those things that you see and those things that you hear, and do those things. The Bible says, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. Okay? Teachable. Very, very important trait. If a man has a lot of good character traits and he's not teachable, you're going to have a hard time watching him be used somewhere else in the ministry. All right? Look at the next thing. Go back with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. The things that thou hast heard of me, next thing he says here, among many witnesses. Among many witnesses. Well, now what are the things that they heard about Paul among many witnesses? You're in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Flip over to chapter 3 and just look at some of these things. 2 Timothy chapter 3, look at verse 10. He's telling Timothy, now look, he says, thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. Look what he says. He says, you have fully known these things. Not just my doctrine and what I teach, but my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, my charity, my patience. Verse 11, my persecutions, my afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. You know that about me too. Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. He said, that's what you know about me. You know, people talk about transparency today. This is transparency. He said, you know everything about me. You know me inside out. You know the good stuff. You know the bad stuff. You know what? This is the stuff that Paul was doing everywhere. What happened to him at Lystra happened at Iconium. What happened at Iconium happened at Antioch. And it didn't stop there. It happened in Jerusalem. It happened up in Rome. This stuff followed Paul around, but he never changed his course. He was consistent and constant. So in this point, what's he saying here when he says those things that you've heard of me among many witnesses? You know what you need to be? Not only teachable, but you need to be balanced. You say, how do you get that out of what he said here? He said, listen, I want you to concentrate on the things that I do everywhere, not on the things that are offshoots and rabbit trails of my ministry. Listen, there are people that have been involved in this ministry before that had real potential as soul winners and real potential as disciplers. And you know what they got caught up on? They got caught up on a fringe doctrine of Paul called hyperdispensationalism. They left all this good stuff that happened to Paul everywhere and got off on this little offshoot doctrine, and now they got a 5 or 10 or 12 people in their little covey that go and do that stuff, and they're no good for the ministry anymore. I remember one time when I graduated from school and I went back, our school was known for some nutcases. I don't know why that is, but I mean some real, real goofballs showed up down there every once in a while. And one of those goofballs that had graduated long before I did had come back, and you know what his ministry was? His ministry was leading the fallen angels to Jesus Christ. I don't know how in the world you do that. One guy said, if you lead these fallen angels to the Jesus Christ, where do you baptize them? He said, in the deep. Wow! There's some people and all they get caught up on is tongues and healing. There's some people and all they get caught up in is motivational speaking and making people feel good. These are offshoots. These are places that you don't want to go. You want to stay balanced. You want to talk about the stuff that Paul did everywhere, not the thing that happened once somewhere. You know, I'm really impressed. We've got some of you guys are old. I mean, some of you are almost as old as dirt. You've been around a while. You guys are looking around. I'm not looking at anybody, okay? We got people here tonight that have been married over 50 years. They just celebrated their anniversary yesterday. Congratulations, Doyle and Donna. What a blessing. I'm not talking about them. They deal with dirt, but they're not older than dirt. And I'm telling you, we have gone in and started this Christian growth class. And we were trying to figure out, you know, Randy said, we don't want to start another class. I said, okay, we'll just bring Christian growth class in here and we'll teach it in adult Sunday school. Amen. And I'm telling you what, that's been a blessing. And we are dealing with basic entry-level doctrine. And I'm looking at that stuff and I'm going, wow, that stuff is so good. It's helping me. It's foundational stuff. But may I tell you something? You don't have to go out and find strange doctrines in the Bible and try to train people in that stuff. You may impress them with your knowledge of the Bible, but you're not going to train them with that. They can't grow on that stuff. When I got started in the ministry, some of the people that were in our church there in Beeville had known about some doctrines of the Bible long before I ever got in there. And I thought, man, what I got to do is dig in here deep. I mean, I got to preach between the verses and find things they've never seen before. And you know what? People don't grow on that. That doesn't help them. You may stay ahead of them. And you may think that you're impressing them with your knowledge, but they won't grow. Your church won't grow and nothing will happen. So you gotta stay balanced. You gotta stay on the stuff that was heard among many witnesses. You wanna be used by God. Be teachable. Always learning, always looking for something. Tonight, Brother Duke comes in here and he's telling you this stuff. Listen, he gave you an exhortation. And you know what he said? Always be surrendered to God so that you can be used where He wants to use you, how He wants to use you, when He wants to use you, where He wants to use you. Now, he didn't put it exactly like that, but that's the gist of it. Because if you're always surrendered to God, then you may end up being a missionary in Mexico, or you may end up being a pastor in the United States, or something that God wants you to do. But you're going to have to stay teachable. I am, people would say, been in the ministry for a while now that I ought to be just doing teaching. I am so looking forward to going to pastor school. Why? I'm going to go up there with an empty paper, an empty tablet, and I propose to come back with a lot of notes that are going to help me and turn around and help you. Okay? So be teachable and be balanced. Let's go back to the text, 2 Timothy chapter 2. What else? The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. Now, what does it mean to commit something to somebody? Well, that means to put them in an insane asylum. You commit them. Well, the word is used there properly, but that's not it. It's, you know what it is? It's this. To commit something to somebody means to give it to them in charge or in trust. To deliver it to them for safekeeping. To entrust it to them or consign it to them. The delivery of a thing into the charge or keeping of another. May I tell you something? The gospel by which Sylvie came to Christ this morning is the same gospel that Peter preached. It's the same gospel that Paul preached. This stuff has been going on for nearly 2,000 years. And it doesn't need to change to deal with this day's society. You know why that happened? Because Paul entrusted it to Timothy. Timothy entrusted it to somebody else. He trusted to somebody else who entrusted it, entrusted it, entrusted it, entrusted it, entrusted it, entrusted it until they entrusted it to the guys that trained me. And now I've got it and I'm putting it in your trust. Because some of you, in the normal course of events, should the Lord tarry, are going to outlive me, will be gone. And I pray to God that the things we put in your trust, you will continue to give to those others. It is committed to you. So, be trusted. Trusted. You know, the question is, can you be trusted with this? Listen, if I had a very expensive diamond, something that had been in my family, and I wanted it to be entrusted to you until my grandkids were around, and I came to you and I said, hold this until my first grandchild is born, and then you make sure that this is given to my grandchild and give it to them with the same trust that they hold on to it and give it to their child. Could you be trusted with that? Or would you hawk it at the pawn shop? There are many people today that are in the ministry that have not kept their trust. These people today that are building up big crowds, you see, he's talked about, Brother Duke has talked about thousands of souls saved in Mexico. That's a wonderful thing. That is a fabulous thing that he in 25 years and the people he has trained have been used by God for that. But there are a lot of people here that can't get up a crowd with the same preaching of salvation as we have had for 2,000 years. And so they found another way to get up a crowd. They brought in rock and roll music, and they brought in dancers, and they brought in pretty girls, and they brought in a feel-good, teaching and counseling. And they've used that to build up a deal. And then they tell everybody, look, we got thousands of people too. Well, you can get thousands of people to show up for a freak show. And you can get more than that to show up for a football game. Just depends on how much you entertain them. But he's not talking about that. He said, listen, if we're going to give this to you, you be sure to hold it in trust and you do whatever God tells you to do with it, but don't change it. Listen, 30 years ago in this country with preaching like this and with a bunch of people active like you are and fishers of men and telling other people about Jesus Christ, this church would be 500 people. Not like that today. Are we going to change what was given to us in trust just to deal with the change in society? No. What if they start killing Christians for preaching Jesus Christ? Are you going to change it and start preaching somebody else so that they don't put you up? Of course not. You take that in trust and you hold on to it in trust. Teachable, balanced, and trustworthy. Trusted. Who else? Well, look at this. The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to whom? Faithful men. Faithful men. This is the key. All of these things are important. You understand that. We wouldn't have taken the time to preach those if they weren't. But faithful people. That's what you want to be. I remember, Bobby's not here so I can tell it. When Bobby got saved, he came to me and he said, I'm very concerned. He said, my family is in the Catholic Church. And they're very loyal to the Catholic Church. My mother-in-law is very connected, and that's hard on my wife and my daughters. What should I do? It's a good question. And you know what I told him? I said, Bobby, here's the thing to do. You be faithful. Come here Sunday morning. Come back Sunday night. Come here Wednesday night. And several things will begin to happen. First of all, they will see that you are consistent in your faith. The second thing that they will see is that you come back different than when you went. And over time, they're going to see large changes in your life. And so questions are going to come up from time to time like, so what did your preacher say today? Or maybe like this. So what did your preacher say today? You don't know which way that's going to go. And I said, then you can say, well, you know what my preacher said, point number one, point number two, point number three. You'll be preaching the sermon that you heard, and that'll go into them. And you know what will happen after time? They'll see the consistency. They'll see the change. They'll see your faithfulness. They'll be hearing some of what the Word of God is saying, and they're going to want some of that. And sure enough, within 2 years, his whole family was coming here, and now they're all very actively involved. His wife teaches in the toddlers. His daughter's going off for her second year of Bible college. Another daughter's very faithful here. And that's a wonderful thing. Faithfulness. That's the key. That's the key. People, you watch people get saved at the same time. And you watch this guy right here. He comes to church Sunday morning for Sunday school. And for the service. And for the evening. And on Wednesday. You say, is it a great sacrifice to him? Undoubtedly, because before that he wasn't doing any of those things in his life. And now he's had to carve out transportation time and church time that wasn't used before. And you watch this guy over here, he gets saved, and he comes to church about once a month. And you look at him a year later, and you know what you're going to have? This guy is going to grow. Some of you, back in the spring, received a gift from the Tallies. How many of y'all got tomato plants from the Tallies? How many of y'all got to eat tomatoes off of your tomato plants that you got from the Tallies? Okay? Now, we went with those plants. We had two plants, right? And no investment. And we looked on the internet and said, if you want to do these in containers, you got to go buy these kind of containers and this kind of soil and this kind of fertilizer and this kind of watering and the whole thing. We went over to Lowe's and we spent $250. And now we got an investment. We had that. We had peppers. We had herbs. We had stuff. We had all these containers. Said, make sure they're in the sun. Keep them regularly watered. And I would kid you not, today those tomato plants are actually smaller than they were when we got them. And we got nothing off of them. They look like unfaithful Christians. Randy was telling me the other day, oh no, we put ours on the south side of the house. We water them every day. Our tomato plants are standing this big today and we were eating tomatoes like that off of there. And I was like, wow, that's like somebody goes to church every Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Wednesday. Of course you're not going to be able to do anything for the Lord if you can't show up from time to time. People say, you're just trying to build a bigger crowd on Sunday. No, I'm trying to build bigger Christians. And better Christians. You got to be faithful. You got to be faithful. You know what happens to us in the ministry? I'm talking about me now. We get caught up sometimes spending too much time on the details, and you need to pay attention to the details. The devil's in the details, they say. And we can also spend too much time with high-maintenance Christians. When I first got in the ministry, man, I'm telling you what, they were some high-maintenance Christians, and they wanted not only all of my time, but some more of that. And I'm like, wow. And I finally had to scrap all that and say, you know, where are the faithful people? And let's invest some time in them. Let's get some growing, fruit-bearing, producing people. And that's where we want to spend the time. You really want to do so. You be faithful. Now, I suspect that the way the Lord is leading in this ministry is like this. I really do. We're praying. I mean, just as cautious as when we started the church, just taking this thing step by step. But I'll tell you what it looks like. In September, on that Labor Day weekend, we're going to have one of the church plantinest guys I know and one of the best soul winners for dealing with people that he's built relationships with. And we're bringing him here to preach, but also to teach you on Friday night about building relationships with people with the express purpose of leading them to Jesus Christ. I was just talking to a pastor the other day. He and I were having lunch together, and he said, you know what? There's a problem in our ministry, and the problem is this. Our people, their spirit, you know, we're very involved in church. All of their best friends are in church, and all of their associations are in church, and all of their time is in church, and we don't have contact with anybody out there that we're building relationships with that are lost. So we're able to knock on a few doors and get some people saved, but to get those people to really stick with us in church, we're not having much success with that. And I said, you know, one of the things you need to do is you need to train them to build relationships with people that God can use to lead them to Christ and make connections with your church so they'll stay. We need to be separated, but you don't want to get separated to the point that you're isolated. And this guy can teach you about that on Friday night. On Saturday, he's going to teach us about church planting. You say, well, we're not planning on starting any churches right now. Yeah, but God may be. And if he plans on doing that a couple of years from now, he's going to have some people trained to do it. And if that means it's one or two or three of you people, the guys that are here to do that, or couples that are here to do that, you're going to want to know what this guy had to say. Take real careful notes and keep them right there so when the time comes, you can say, this is how you do it. Then they'll come in here and preach and get our associate pastor ordained and a couple of deacons installed. And then you know what? We'll have another one come in with strong points in the ministry and teach us about that. And we'll fill in like we used to do with the Thursday night Bible study. You say, man, that's just going to require more time. Faithful. Faithful. Teachable. Balanced. You see? Trusted. You see? A couple of years from now, it'll be like going through an internship. This kind of thing is happening like from month to month over a period of time. Pastor Sal coming down, teaching some things. Other pastors that we know coming in, teaching some things. You know what's going to happen to you? You're going to grow like Randy's tomatoes. You'll be a big tomato for God. Now, if that's the way God's leading, then you know what we need to do? We need to start that training and preparing. And if you want to be trained in that, be faithful. One other thing. The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, watch it, who shall be able to teach others also. You know what we're looking for? Teachable, balanced, trusted, faithful leaders. 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 Men who shall be able to teach others also. That takes some training. I was reading a book a long time ago from Bo Schembechler, coach at Michigan for 20 years. And he realized as head coach with 125 players and a whole bunch of assistants and all that, that he could not be the leader over everybody that was there. There wasn't enough Bo and there was too much people. And so he had to train leaders. And in his core of leadership, he had seniors on the football team that were part of that core. And you know what he did? He trained them to be leaders over other players on the team. And you know what they did? They reproduced themselves in the younger players. Now, so I'll tell you what happened. In this particular instance, those leaders knew all the rules. And one of the rules was that before a game, you don't go out to places that people that go to Michigan go out should not go out to, which would be like bars and pool halls. No, you get ready for the game and you take your job seriously. So the seniors were out on a Thursday night before the Ohio State rivalry football game. The seniors' last game of the season. They had a sophomore who was an excellent kicker. He was persuaded by some of the other younger players on the team to go to a bar and shoot some pool. He had been there about 10 minutes when the seniors walked in and caught him and said, "You, get home." Friday morning they showed up in Coach Schembechler's office and they said, "We caught our kicker playing pool last night." He said, "They didn't tell me what to do about it. They just wanted me to know that he had violated the rules." Now, the rule said that if you violate that rule, you are benched and you don't get to play in the game. And these seniors knew by coming in and reporting this guy, the best kicker in that conference, they might lose in their conference rivalry with Ohio State. It's a very costly leadership decision. But they knew the rules and they knew the cost of being leaders and they stood. They walked out. Coach said, "I knew what I had to do." I called that fella in and got him in my office right away and sat him down and said, "What in the world possessed you on Thursday night before Ohio State football game tomorrow to go into a pool hall?" "Coach, I was there 10 minutes. We didn't drink anything." He said, "I know, but you knew you weren't even supposed to be there 1 second, not just 10 minutes. You're benched." He benched him for that game. There was a conference championship. That was the conference championship game. They had another game, a playoff, whatever you do, postseason game. He benched him for that one, and he benched him for the first 5 games of the next season. He said, and in that period of time, that young man grew up. Now, I know most of y'all want to know how the game turned out, right? Well, Michigan won 27-17, so it was all right. Their second string kicker made 2 field goals and 3 extra points, so everything was cool, okay? Phew. Leadership is nonconformity to everybody else's desires and conformity to God's desires. It's sometimes making the hard decisions for the sake of people that are following you. It's sometimes doing the right thing even though the wrong thing is legal. And it's always doing the right thing even when other people aren't looking so that your character builds in doing right things. Listen, leaders, we have young men, I want you to hear this, that call us now that want to go to the mission field. I am delighted that they're called to the mission field. And I say to them when they call me, "Tell me a little bit about yourself and all that stuff." I mean, they say, "I did everything teachable. I did everything my pastor asked me to do. I went through our local Bible Institute for 3 years. I took care of all the courses. You know, doctrinally I'm sound and balanced. These things have been put into my trust by my pastor. We're good. I was faithful to be there to do anything my pastor said. I've taught Sunday school. I've run bus routes. I have been associate with my pastor. I've even cleaned the commodes and done janitorial work around our church. Anything he wants me to do, taught Sunday school, the whole thing." You know what happened? Pastor failed in this one regard. Failed him to be a leader. You say, why? Because what he did is he put him in the position of a leadership too soon, when he still needed some more time to train in that aspect of the ministry. You see, where this guy is going, there is no bus route. Where this guy is going, there are no Sunday school classes. Where this guy is going, there is no established junior church. Where this guy is going, there is no commode to clean. He is going where there is raw soil and all lost people, and he's going to try to lead them to Jesus and get them to come and sit under his ministry and begin to learn so he can build them into a church. And he doesn't know how to do that, because he wasn't trained to be a leader. Most of these guys, not most, I say some of these guys that are calling us couldn't start a church in the United States knowing the language, knowing the culture, knowing the people. How are they going to do it in a foreign field where they don't know any of that stuff? What does that say? You need somebody that's training you that can also gauge when you have finally gotten to a place where you can reproduce yourself in the life of other men. You remember the Wells family? Any of y'all remember the Wells family that have gone off to Papua New Guinea? There's Brad Wells there, and there's Chad Wells there, and their dad Wells is there. Brad Wells married one of the Marshall's family's daughters. I think it was Deborah. And they were over there. They grew up on the mission field in Papua New Guinea. Chad came back and he went through Bible Institute there at Brother DeMichael's church in Boise, Idaho. And he said, okay, preacher, I finished the Bible Institute. I'm ready to go back to Papua New Guinea and serve on the mission field. And he says, you sit right down here. You're not ready. And you know something? Though that man grew up on the mission field, was faithful in the ministry, had learned in the Bible Institute, his pastor sat him and grew him up 15 more years. And then one day he said, all right, Brother Chad, you're ready to go. And he's gone over there and he's doing a good work. You know what he did? He waited until he built a leader. Some people can lead at a young age. Some people need some time to learn to lead. You see it? Best way to learn to lead is to learn to follow, which is what Paul said here. So what you want to be is a teachable, balanced, trusted, faithful leader. And that leadership is something that comes by making those right decisions and hard decisions and growing up following somebody like Paul laid out here until you're in a position where you can reproduce yourself at home. Once you can do that, you can reproduce yourself wherever God sends you. Amen? I'll tell you what, I am looking forward to what God is doing in this ministry. I look around here and see these young men and these young ladies in here, and I'm thinking, wow, what potential. You're looking and going, wow, what's for supper? My vision's a little bit further than your vision for you. And I'm praying to God that He'll raise up these kinds of men and women in our church. Amen? And you pray with me about that. And if God's got His hand on you for that, you let Him mold you this way. And you won't regret it. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we're sure thankful tonight for an opportunity to see these things in the Scripture. And I'm asking you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, help us. This is a very sober message, but it's also such a good message. It encourages me because we've got young men and women here. Lord, I am convinced that time can be used by you in many, many different capacities. I pray that our young men and young women will be teachable and balanced and trusted and faithful, and that they will take their young responsibilities in minor leadership roles very, very very, very seriously and learn responsibility so as they grow, they can be given more and more opportunities to do your will. I pray, Father, they'll learn to lead souls to the Lord Jesus Christ, learn to preach and learn, Father, to disciple and learn to build people and learn to grow. Father, I pray you'll bless the work that you're doing in this church and bless our church for it. We're excited that you've given us these opportunities, and we pray, Lord God, we'll do your will according to these things. Thank you for entrusting us with these young lives, that through your work and your will in our midst, Father, we can be used by you to take them on to the next step, that they may be able to teach others also. We ask you to do it in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.